Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
And we are back around the table here. We're going to continue our discussion in Ephesians. The last time we went through 1 through 3 and giving a little bit of history on kind of the time that Paul was writing this and where he was writing this. As we said before, Ephesians is one of the books that, or letters, it's not really a book for him. It's a book for us, a letter for him, you know, that he wrote while he was in prison in Rome. And we're going to go ahead and we're going to go through chapters 4, 5, and 6.
You know, I just was thinking, what would it feel like to receive this letter, you know?
Now? Or how they...
But just to have any kind of communication, you know, be like, oh, hey, we got to meet up. Come on. We got a letter from Paul.
I think given that he was in prison and they all knew he was in prison, it was probably really exciting.
Yeah.
Because it's like they didn't have phones, right? Or computers, all that fun stuff. They're not going to know he's dead until somebody comes to their town to say, hey, just so you know, they've executed him, or they've killed him. So, I mean, it's probably exciting. Okay, he's still alive. Like, what does he have to say? Let's find out. Because they know this could be the last time they hear from him.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we take advantage that we have all this at our fingertips. You know, we have, I mean, we can get the Bible anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then if we don't understand something, we can look it up and see what someone else wrote about it. You know, and I just imagine that they're just craving for any kind of word, you know, because, you know, in Ephesus, it was a huge Gentile population. And so how much of even the Old Scrolls, the Old Testament, the laws, was even aware of?
Yeah. Because that's not what they grew up with. That wasn't taught in their school like it was in all of, like, the Hebrew nation school.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you get that word crave, and I think that's, you know, their craving word. They're craving that. And I'm like, I need that. I need that craving in my life. Like, I crave the knowledge, but I can't seem to get myself to the point where all the time that craving wins out to where I actually succumb and get into it and dive into it. And it just always feels so good when I do, but I need that constant craving that doesn't go away until I actually cave into it.
Like
good kind of cave into it. You know,
it's like I can easily distract myself with entertainment, something that's entertaining. And especially I feel like, you know, our phones is such a distraction because there's so much entertainment on it. Even silly stuff. You're like, after you watch it, you're like, why did I watch that?
I know. All of a sudden you've been sitting there for 20 minutes and you realized, how many of those stupid little reels did I watch that have no purpose in my life other than to mindlessly sit there and not have to think.
Yeah. And what is that doing to our brains?
I'm telling you, my sister said that she started to notice when she does that she's now, she got scared, you know, because she was trying to sit down and read a book and she found out that she can't focus on the book like she wanted to, like she was used to.
Yeah.
Like, and she's right? It's hard to focus on anything for a certain period of time because it's not that constant scroll, so you're not getting that constant change, you know, and so it's hard to focus on one task at once. I think it's just making us all, I don't know, scatterbrained, you know, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and it feels like sometimes I can't just sit still without that coming into account, right? Like, I can't just, like you said, focus on one thing at a time, so...
It's
love to be better at it.
I was telling Keisha before too, I deleted Facebook off of my phone for the week. Like, I'll get on this week when I have to do posts for Bible study or posts for the podcast and everything. But I'm trying to be off of it, because when I get overwhelmed at work, sometimes my ultimate go-to is just to go to my phone and try to get rid of that overwhelming feeling. But it makes it worse, yeah, because I'm not doing the things that could help alleviate my overwhelming thing. I'm focusing on something completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You're changing the overwhelming or the focus of the too much of, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Guilty.
So I'm trying really hard to do that. But, I mean, I can't get rid of it completely. I can't, because, again, we have this. And then through the, like, for the church group, I want to make sure that everybody's informed on when we're meeting and why we're meeting and what we're meeting on. You know, stuff like that. Or even, or after we met, here's the breakdown of what we talked about. You know, and
it can be a good thing. Like, oh, yeah. Obviously, there's a lot of beautiful benefit to it. Like, the fact that we get to have these kind of conversations and share them with other people. Like, mm-hmm. God be praised for that. But it's also, when does it become your new God?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I mean little g God. Mm-hmm. You know, nope.
What I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And your sure. focus more than talking to God does.
Yeah. It is nice, because on, like, the Instagram page for this, like, for our mustard seed, it's nice because all of the reels and everything that show up on there are all Christ-based, because that's yeah. what it's used for. Mm-hmm. And so the people that I follow just, you know, and I follow, you know, you do friends and the people that follow you back, like, whatever. But a lot of the reels that show up on that, because it's an algorithm, they figured out, like, this is a Christ-centered thing. And so they show, you know, I'll get, like, Jackie Hill Perry coming through. I'll get other podcasts coming through that are Christian based, you know, and stuff like that. And I'm like, I do love that. That is nice to have. But still, yeah. You still get cut down. You still get caught down it no matter what. Mm-hmm. So it says, therefore, I, prisoner in the Lord, urge you to live worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is all above and through all and in all. Now grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. For it says, when he ascended on high, he took the captives captive. He gave gifts to the people. But what does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens to fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into maturity with stature measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be little children, tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning, with cleverness and techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, fitted, knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. Therefore, I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer live as the Gentiles live, in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them and because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him and the truth is in Jesus, to take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by the deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness and righteousness and purity of the truth. Therefore, putting away the lying, speaking the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. Let the thief no longer steal. Instead, he is to do honest work with his own hands, so that he has something to share with anyone in need. No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. And don't grieve God's Holy Spirit. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you with all malice. And be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. Well, I take back what I said the last time. He said it with gentleness and respect. And he did. That was one of probably, I feel like, one of the most mic drop chapters that Paul has for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't feel like I can elaborate that any more than he already did.
He lays it out pretty good. This is what you should do. You should not do this.
Yep.
I mean, you know, sometimes we feel like as Christians, we're like, well, what do we do? How do we do this? How do we respond to this? Well, Paul tells us. Yep.
Usually I'm always like, oh, James tells us. But here I'm like, nope, Paul told us. He done told us.
I feel like we need to just take verses 31 and 32 and blast it to the world.
If I flip.
Including myself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Not saying I'm not, you know, guilty of stuff, but I don't know. It is. It's like a James truth bomb right now.
It is. It feels like a James truth bomb. But it's Paul. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. They might have been friends or something. Who knows?
Maybe. Might have been working for the same goal. The same guy. Yeah.
Yeah. They might have learned from the same guy. You know.
But. It's always that foul language that likes to slap me in the face.
Oh, yeah.
Breach it.
Why is that? When you get frustrated, overwhelmed, the first thing that comes out is...
I don't know.
You know, quick story. Well, I think it was last year. My youngest son, he was 4 at the time, he had gone to the babysitter's house, and he was using the restroom, and... He told her, he said, get in here and wipe my butt. But he didn't say butt. He said, you know, the bad version of butt. And I blamed a friend of ours. I said, he got it from you. Then I sat back and I thought, nope, it was me. I remember. I remember the exact time I said it. And it was because I was overwhelmed. And I had two little voices, mommy this, mommy, 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 mommy. And I was overwhelmed. And what came out?
Yep.
Yep.
Not loving. Yep. That's what it was.
And you know, though, it's not even just, I mean, I'm not, cussing is an issue that I have. And it's a constant work for me to not give in to that, but it's also, you know, how you're speaking to about someone, about your situation, mm-hmm. about the person driving in front of you or that almost clipped you or that, you know, all of that.
That's what gets me anyway.
Or even complaining, you know, complaining about mm-hmm. what's going on, being overwhelmed, you know.
Yep.
I do home health, and you know, when I go into someone's house, a lot of times I'm like, oh, how are you doing? I'm good, but man, am I hot. This weather has just been horrible. Or, you know, a week ago, man, I'm so sick of the rain.
it's super easy to always make excuses for just about anything, right? Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a difference in being authentic and, you know, like laying it out that this is where I am. This is kind of, you know, I'm tired. I'm upset. I'm like this. But there's a difference in, you know, getting it out system wise, as far as, you know, being able to talk it out mm-hmm. and to share your nitty gritties, which I think you need to be able to do amongst your inner circle, mm-hmm. you know, about with people who understand, you know, you and will pray for on your behalf and keep you in line. But, you know, but there, and there's a difference in that than just completely complaining just to complain because you're just, that's mm-hmm. where you're yeah. at. So you're trying to make sure everybody's on your level.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, yeah. Just with the stuff that we've been going through at our church, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's been so easy to slip into, you know, and whining and, oh, woe are we and our life's so hard. And then we have to go, but gosh, look at what the Lord's done in the midst of even the craziest of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
The things that are of this world because of humans and sin and ego and head and body. I mean, everything. But at the end of the day, look at how the Lord takes even that junk, the slander, the harsh words, the rage, the anger, the fear, the tears, the joy, the everything. And he says, yes, let's not try to live in that, but I'm going to take it and use it for the good of the kingdom so that other people will know me through you, through your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a rubber stamp to say, yeah, just keep going how you're going. It's fine. I'm going to love you no matter what. Cause he is going to love us no matter what.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But he also says, don't dwell in the junk. What does it say? Instead, be kind to each other, and like insert, you know, be kind to you,
yes,
tenderhearted and forgiving yourself, just as God has forgiven you. Like, put the word "you" in there, not just about others. Like, yes, we need to remember to do that, but we also have to remember to do it for ourselves. Because if you're not taking care of yourself and forgiving yourself and loving yourself, you can't do that to others.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you do have to get rid of all your bitterness, rage, harsh, and all that stuff. But you also have to be okay to say, okay, yep, I had that moment, Mom, where I said the wrong word in front of my kid or in front of my spouse or in front of my friend or whatever the situation is. And then go, okay, I got to have some, my mom and I just had this conversation before we got on the phone, have some grace for yourself.
Yep.
Because the only way you can show grace and give grace is if you show it and give it to yourself and to, you know, those that are closest to you. So
it's so hard to give it to me.
Ugh. Amen.
I know. I think I feel like I need to highlight that entire chapter and put that all over my house.
You know, I think sometimes one of the hardest things is like verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. You know, and sometimes that's hard because sometimes the truth hurts a little.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Because to me, I never want to step on anyone's toes. I don't like conflict. I don't like hurting anyone. So I might say something out of falsehood so I don't hurt someone's feelings. But what is that doing for them? I didn't give them the truth, which is what they were asking for.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be as simple as, do you like my hair? You know?
Right. Right.
Yes.
Though I'm not, there's certain truths that I will provide, but if somebody asks me that, that is not a, like, if I don't think so, that's not a truth I'm providing. The question is, do you like your hair? Because then, but you know, with that, then it doesn't matter if I like your hair or not. If you like your hair, it's all that matters. But yeah, no, it is. It just having, but you got to think about, you know, well, who's my neighbor? You know, it's your neighbor is everybody, right? It's it's the person you don't agree with. It's the person who cut you off. It's the person who is tailgating
not
you.
Not the person who cut me off. No, it is.
But you know, it's the person who is a different religion than you. It's the person who doesn't have a religion. It's the person who has different views on, you know, it's, that's your neighbor. And so you live in unity with them, but yet you don't conform, right? Mm-hmm. Like you are showing them your light to see if they want it.
Yeah. Hey, chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant of offering and sacrifice to God. But the sexual immoral, and all impurity must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let therefore no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another as psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to everything of their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Hey, so this is some of my husband's favorite scripture.
I was going to say.
My husband's team, for sure.
Well, they like the first part. They don't like the second part so much.
So when Brian and I were doing our premarital counseling with our pastor at Christ the King, Pastor Jack, when he was there, he brought this, obviously, because this is one of the scriptures we were just talking about and stuff like that. And so after that, every time we would talk about something like we wanted for the wedding, he'd be like, thou shalt submit. And I'd be like, and what will you do? And he goes, well, I don't know. That just says you're supposed to do that. And I was like, okay, let's get to the other half of the story. But now it's just become our running joke, right? Because he, I mean, obviously he gets it, but I'm just saying, it was just really funny that that's, that's always going to be our kind of running marriage joke, is the submit part is great for women, and yeah, for guys too. Okay, sure.
Yeah,
blah, cool. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah, love you too. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's funny how even we as women, and I'll speak for Leslie, that word submit is like,
yes.
But it's a beautiful word when it's thought about in the context of what it means for both people in the relationship and in the relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's that full surrender. It's that submit, because it's a partnership, and it's a lasting thing that you want. It's the relationship you have with the Lord. It's the same concept. But that word submit in our society today, not a pretty word. but I laugh about the joke of what that word means to, you know, like my husband and I can joke about it. But I also think about the seriousness of that word in the relationship that we're called to have with the Lord, and then with our spouse.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And, you know, I think this paints a picture of what it should be.
Yeah.
But, you know, it goes back to the curse of the fall of man, you know, back to Adam and Eve. It said there would be, you know, friction between the man and the woman. And that goes back to when we try to play the role that wasn't designed for us to be.
Mm-hmm.
I know when Ben and I hadn't been married very long, they did like a marriage little retreat at our church, and they called it, you know, the crazy cycle. When the man doesn't feel respected, he's not going to show love. When the woman doesn't feel loved, she's not going to show respect.
Mm-hmm.
And you get on this crazy cycle. And it's hard to step back sometimes and, you know, look back at this and like, but this is how God designed it to be. But of course, you know, we follow that desire of the flesh, which is, I'm right, you're wrong.
Exactly.
That causes issues.
But that's absolutely right. Like, we've had that conversation. Like, Steve and I have talked about that. Like, if when we get overwhelmed, or if we need to understand that, if sometimes when we have to take a step back and figure out why are we feeling so disconnected, and it's like, if I'm not assisting in his cup being filled, then my cup's not being filled because he doesn't feel filled. And so then it becomes a thing. So a lot of times when it's like, well, when one of us recognizes that, that's who needs at that point to be the bigger person and fill the cup that you, because you know you'll get to the point where your cup's going to get filled back. Mm-hmm. Because you're then taking that step out to say, okay, we're both now disconnected, but this is what's going to help him. So in turn, this is what's going to help me, or mm-hmm. vice versa. He's going to do what he knows is going to help me out, because he knows then I will turn around and do the same once my cup isn't bone dry.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the important thing. And that's obviously a marriage that's important, but it's friendship too.
Mm-hmm. Any relationships.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to build each other up.
Mm-hmm.
Fill each other's cup. Yeah.
I mean, it even goes to the beginning of the chapter with, you know, living in Christ's light. When you're living in it, and when you can easily help fill other people's cups, but when you can't see that light,
mm-hmm.
you need Jesus and some other friends to come along, the people who think like you do, to fill your cups, to help you find that light again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also your spouse, the good relationships that you have. In your life are supposed to help you to get back to when you can't find it yourself, when you can't find your way back, when you see the light but you're still not sure how to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to help pull you out of the muck and the mire, and that's what God does too. But that's also why God gave us friends and spouses, and we aren't in this life alone. I mean, there's a reason that Adam needed Eve, because man was not meant to be alone. So
yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's, it's all, you know, and I always feel like it's hard, because in this day and age, it's hard to ask for help, because we're very told to, you know, everybody's like, nobody wants to ask for assistance. Nobody wants to admit that they're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when you admit it to the right people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we all come in here, we come in this room, we sit here and we do this, and we're like, you know what? This is where we're at right now. And that way we know how to pray for each other throughout, you know, the week or the month or until our next time we all get to sit down and do this because our lives have, you know, stopped for half a second, you know, or, and I literally half a second,
stop.
But this is our safe space because we all know that we all know where our foundation is. So we're able, you know, it's a safe space. So I can come to you guys and be like, I'm struggling here. And it's, I know it's safe for me to come in here. Like if I'm having some, any kind of thoughts, whether it's, you know, anything, I know I can come to you guys and you guys can direct it right back to what it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, we'll take a look in here. Like, look, this is what the Bible says about this, or, you know, this is what God says. And this is what, you know, you guys can bring it back, you know, to the focus of just, you know, I quote Moana at this point, just, remember who you are, like, you know who you are, you know, and just remember whose you are, not just who you are, but mm-hmm. whose you are, which sounds so bad grammatically.
But we got it.
We did it. We're rolling with that one. And that's why I think it's just important on who you're going to go to for assistance. Who you bear your soul to needs to be somebody who aligns with you. Like, you're friends with everybody, you love everybody, but there's a little bit of a difference when you need some advice and you need some prayer, or you need, you know, you just need encouragement. You need to have somebody that's also Christ founded to do that.
Amen. Amen.
Because there's things, you know, and I mean, this is a little tangent, but you know, there's things that you need a girl.
Mm-hmm.
You need a woman. I go to Steve for 99 things, but there's sometimes, you know, I just need a woman's perspective.
Because sometimes you don't need them to fix it. You just need to talk about it.
Ditto what she said.
Yeah. Sometimes I need Steve to fix it more often than I'll probably ever tell him in person.
It's fixed,
yeah. But, you know, there are times.
This part out, right?
Yeah, this is going to be totally cut out. he will never know. But, you know, I mean, there are things that, there's just things that you guys would understand better from where my brain goes than mm-hmm. he will. And that's only because we share the same anatomy.
Yeah.
You know, and we deal with lot of the same things.
And, you know, and a friendship. I know that, I mean, I haven't known Keisha as long as you, but I feel that friendship with her that,
mm-hmm.
that, no matter what, I can bring something serious to you guys and go, wah, here's what's going on.
Yeah.
And I know that I've got prayer partners and friends that will care for me no matter what, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's what we seek both in our partner and in our friends.
Yes.
Like I notice more and more as I've gotten older that I discern, I have lots of great acquaintances and people that I'm friends with or friendly or whatever term you want to use.
Mm-hmm.
But those key people, those core people are fewer and far between because I'm more selective now mm-hmm. about how I involve people in all the parts of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the deeper, darker parts that I just sometimes, I mean, you and I, how many times do we text? Like, this is the junk that's going on in my head and my heart right now. And you don't do that. You don't do that with everybody because you don't feel that kindred or that fellowship or that safety, that light from every person you meet, even if they're a wonderful, good Christian person, right? Like nothing wrong with them. You just don't feel that same safety net that you do with certain others. So.
Oh, and that's mm-hmm. that's exactly it. And that's why, you know, when you go back to, that's, you know, we will go back to talking about foul language. Like, that's the difference. We're not sitting here. You're not going to sit here and you're not complaining. You're just like, I need to get through this and I need you to understand where I'm at. We need to get through it. And I need to know how I'm going to do this. And sometimes that's because you need somebody backing you in prayer. You need somebody reminding you to get into your word. If that's mm-hmm. even texting, you know, when you wake up, hey, did you get in your Bible this morning? Did you actually do this? Are you going to make time? If you didn't do it this morning, are you going to make time today? Mm-hmm. You know, are you going to actually take a lunch and sit there and read something? You know, even if it's just that, like, that's somebody, that's something that you need. You need that other person in your corner that's also not your spouse, because that you hear all the time.
Yeah.
Like Steve.
Yeah.
Steve gets on me. I don't listen to his podcast as often as I should. I think he thinks I should sometimes. And it's because I'm like, babe, I love you. And I respect everything that comes out of your mouth. I really do. We might not always agree on the topic or on like how we feel everything goes, but that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everything that you talk about on the podcast, I'm either in the house, so I hear it, or, you know, we've already talked about it, you know? And so I said, sometimes me listening to it, I've already heard it. We've already talked about it. Like, cause you've either, you know, you've talked to me about how you feel about it or whatever. And I've given you my two cents, whether he takes that or not, but you know, so I'm like, I'm always like, I'm sorry, but you know, you hear your spouse all day long.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you just need
another voice,
somebody else.
Yeah.
Talking to you.
Yeah. So. But I have learned with my spouse, if it's something I just need to get off my chest, I have to start with, I don't want you to fix it.
Listen. I just need to vent for a moment and we'll be fine. Yep. totally understand that.
Yeah. Steve is getting better at discerning that. It's 20 years later and he's getting better at discerning when I just need to just read a book and sit by myself and nobody talk to me, you know, or, you know, discerning what I need in regards to, like, if I need help, if I need to talk about it, if I need to just go away so that way my family can still love me tomorrow, you know, what that needs to be.
Sometimes that has to happen.
Or all of the above.
Yeah, sometimes it's all at once. And he'd be like, are you calm enough now to talk about your situation? Maybe.
Yeah. Let's try and see how it goes.
Yeah.
I just to kind of bring it back, I know we go on the tangents, but I think, again, that's why it makes us real. I love that, pay careful attention then to how you live, not unwise people as wise. You know, it's the verse 15. Mine breaks it as a consistency in the Christian life. You know, it's like that 15 through, you know, 21. You know, it's just, again, focus on how you're portraying. Yeah. Go back to James. Your works aren't what save you, but you're saved. Your works show that you are saved. You know, it's you're not. Just because you are a good person doesn't mean you're saved, but you're, because you're saved, you're a good person, mm-hmm. you know, kind of a thing.
Yep. It's living as he wants us to live.
Mm-hmm. I do need to change. You guys were talking earlier too. I would need to change that mindset of, okay, I'm in this situation and what are you trying to teach me? What can I learn? Or thank you for putting me in this situation so I can handle it better. I can learn to handle this better. You know, because then you always got to think about, especially the car, how am I teaching my kids? You know, I should now use this as okay, do you see how this person did this? That's something we're not usually supposed to do, but because we were paying attention, we avoided any kind of serious consequences. You know,
you're alive today because
that sounds so nice.
Doesn't it? In hindsight, I wish that would have been what came out of my mouth this morning. Instead of, why are these people going 90 miles an hour in a 55? I'm already going 60 and these people are passing me like I'm standing still. Like, we live in a small town, we should not have this kind of traffic.
Yeah.
All right, well, if you want to finish us off with six,
this is perfect for a transition out of what we were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. this is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. To bring you up to date, Titius, we'll say, will give you a full report about what I am doing and how I am getting along. He is a beloved brother and faithful helper in the Lord's work. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are doing and to encourage you. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters, and may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ. Love that. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then I would add a little thing, and for yourself.
And you.
It's like romper room, and I see Elizabeth, and Leslie. Yeah. It's just a great reminder that he's given us everything we need to face whatever comes our way, the light or the dark.
Yep. And I love that he acknowledges the fact that evil is all around us. Like unseen, you know, it shows that, you know, for verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. You know, it's talks about the spiritual battles that go on around us.
Yes.
And it tells us to be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
And to be prepared, the most important thing is to have God's word in our hearts.
100%. You know, on the boys podcast, on the dig, they talked to that Micah Turnbaugh, I think, is that, and he can see angels. He can see them and talk to them. And that put a lot of stuff in perspective for me. Knowing that we legitimately have, you know, your guardian angel that is constantly going to battle on your behalf, you know, he tells the story in regards to how, you know, the angels that are at playgrounds, mm-hmm. right? So it's not just like the guardian angels of each kid, but there's also certain angels at children's playgrounds that are there to protect those kids, right? And so, you know, and he talks about seeing them on cars, like on top of the cars as you're driving. So they're there, they're protecting, you know, the inhabitants and everything. And it's like, it's a powerful image, mm-hmm. to think that, you know, he can kind of see what we can't. And so it's just, it's nice to think about, because it just brings it brings it in, you know. And even going back in Daniel, mm-hmm. you know, when he talks about how it's
that he got delayed bringing the message because he had to help Michael
defeat the king of Persia.
Uh-huh. And then, you know, there it shows you too that there's angels and demons, mm-hmm. that are over different nations.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we say the government is corrupt.
Yeah. Yep. It's a good reminder to know that sometimes it's not your fault. You know, you're just underneath an attack. How you handle it, you know, kind of falls on you.
How you respond.
Yeah. You know, but, you know, it's there's just days when it's just, you might be getting attacked more because you're supposed to do something for the good and they're trying to make sure that you're not going to do it.
Well, that's, as I said, there's also a reason that you need the armor is because you're going to get attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason you're going to get attacked is because you know truth and you know the good news.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be ready and prepared to, in some fashion, defend your faith. And that doesn't mean, like, you have to be able to quote scripture perfectly or know that it's Philippians 4, verse 1, that are, I mean, you don't have, I mean, I can't do that. And I'm, you know, been studying it my whole life. But
right.
It means that I need to be prepared and ready, that he's going to put me in a situation where he'll give me the words and the things to defend my faith and to defend him and defend what he's put before me. So,
yep.
And the confidence and the boldness to do it only comes from knowing him. Mm-hmm. Only comes from knowing him.
Yep. It's that having the discernment to know what the situation that you're in and allowing him to lead it.
Yeah.
And not you. You're not going to get in your own way, which I do all the time. Because you limit God when you limit yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
What is it Pastor Mike used to say? Don't tell me what my God can't do.
Yeah.
That sounds... Pastor Mike used to say that at Christ the King all the time.
Yep.
You know, I like how it's, you know, take it back a little bit to, it's talking about, you know, slaves obey your masters. Well, you know, that's still talking to us. We're bond servants to our jobs, you know, and how it says, be sincere of heart, not by the way of eye service, or as people pleasers. And I'm like,
I know.
But I'm so good at that people-pleasing thing.
I'm extremely good at being a yes man.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure, of course, whatever you think. Uh-huh. You need that? I'll do it.
Yeah.
Without first checking with my spouse or checking with God or anything. I'm like, yep, you need it, I'll do it. Which is a good and bad thing.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
I think no matter what, it just talks about, too, you know, just about... If having, like you were saying, the slaves obeying their masters and the masters then, you know, making sure that they're not treating the slaves inappropriately. It's just all about how we treat one another and what that says about our walk.
Mm-hmm.
Still, like, that's a lot of, he had that throughout this a lot. He said that a lot through here. But now he's just putting it into perspective. Like, let's just go ahead and start calling it out. Like, masters, slaves, wives, husbands, children. Yeah. You know, we're all one of these things.
Yeah.
You know, this is what you're supposed to do.
Well, I mean, he says at the end of chapter 4, instead be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So mm-hmm. if we're not putting that lens on how we interact with people on a daily basis, there's no way that the armor will work for us either.
Yeah,
exactly. And I do like the visual of the armor. I like that, the thought process
mm-hmm.
that he had that to do that.
The other thing I like about Paul a lot, and it includes this armor, but it's also, he uses the word boldly, or at least some version of that word, a lot. Like, because he's trying to encourage them to go out and be bold in how they proclaim and use that armor, use the tools, use the good news to share the good news, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the hard part in our world right now, that at least I feel, is the boldness to speak your truth, because we don't want to offend anybody, right? And I don't want to offend anybody. I'm not trying to, just because I say something or put something on like Facebook or Instagram or in a letter or an email, does not mean I'm trying to say, you don't believe this way, then don't talk to me.
Right.
I'm just trying to tell you this is boldly who I am, right? Yep. This is who God's created me to be. And I, that's just one of those things that in all of his letters, in all of Paul's writings, just appreciate that he seems to always talk about the boldness to proclaim the good news.
Mm-hmm. And he obviously had that.
Yeah. Well, and when you have armor on, don't you feel like sometimes you're a little more bold in how you approach the fight because mm-hmm. you have protection, right?
Yeah.
So that boldness mm-hmm. is just even more at the forefront. That's just something that popped in my head thinking about the word boldness, and it's kind of like on I was reading something on internet earlier about like cyberbullying and stuff like that. The reason it's so bad is because you have this boldness, because you have this armor of a computer screen in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not face to face with that person. Paul's sitting in prison writing this with his captors down the hallway ready to beat him again, right?
Yep.
So he doesn't have the safety of internet and computer screens and being a country away or
right.
thousands of miles away from the person he's, you know, picking on or whatever. Yeah, I just think that boldness is what he's, I don't know, maybe that's what the Lord's trying to say to me tonight. I don't know. That's why he's making it stick out in my head.
No. I think it is, and I think that's what the world needs is more Christians to be bold. But again, it's how you use that boldness.
It's love and gentleness.
Yes, exactly.
You know. You can be bold and brash and horrible.
Exactly.
Or you can be bold and kind and tenderhearted, not accepting the sin, but saying, I get it. I'm a sinner too.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what God calls us to do, right? Like,
yeah.
So it's boldness without acceptance, but it's also boldness without being a jerk.
Yep.
About it. So, yeah, it's figuring that out for sure.
Yeah, I've seen that, and I've reposted it multiple times, you know, as far as the pictures, that's the word that says sometimes just being a Christian means telling somebody you're a Christian and then not being a complete jerk.
You know? Amen.
And I'm like, that's a lot of times, that's exactly it. Because just like, you know, the media shows the extremes of everything, so you only see the extremist Christians that are haters of everybody, or you
jerks,
see the the jerks, you see the extremist atheists that are the jerks, you see the extremists, liberals, Republicans, you're only seeing the jerks portrayed. But yet if you open up your front door and you walk out, you see that those people aren't actually all jerks, that demographic isn't actually all jerk faces, you know. Yeah. It's just that's what sells. It's
mm-hmm. yeah,
jerkness sells.
Well, and we're constantly trying not to be jerks. There's moments when I'm a jerk, okay,
yeah,
I made a mistake, but I'm constantly trying to put that filter so I'm not that jerk.
Yep.
To anybody, no matter what I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. You know, it's just My goal is to just not be a jerk, okay?
Yeah. It's a good goal.
Yeah, I'm not saying. I know, and we all fall short of all goals, you know, but it's just a matter of giving that grace back to yourself that you would give others.
Yeah. It's a true story.
I think we did good. I feel like that was a really good... I think we did Ephesians pretty well, I feel like. So, hope everybody else thinks that too. But, you know, I know there's things that we've missed and there's things that we didn't touch on. We reread it all, but you know what? I feel like we know that we talk about what God wants us to talk about, and things that pop in our head sometimes are what God wants us to say, and then also to show you how real we are sitting here, you know. But yeah, we will see everybody. We'll see everybody next time. We want to thank you all for listening to the Mustard Seed Podcast and for joining us on this journey that God laid on our hearts. I know it's hard to feel connected when we are on this side of the microphone, so we wanted to make sure that you knew that you could connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at the Mustard Seed Podcast. Our Facebook group is a community. We share funny memes, Bible verses, and just life. You can reach out however you feel comfortable. We want to build the community that we advocate for on this podcast, the Come As You Are. Our table will never be too crowded and cannot get too big. You belong here, and we want to connect with you.